Welcome back. This is The Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read a page of The Wise Man's Fear, and then we talk about it. This is page 71.
Really?
Really, he said. It is a delicate social situation. A lot of things could go wrong. But if... Sim let out a sigh, brushing his sandy hair out of his eyes. Am I your touchstone or not? This is going to get tedious if I have to tell you everything three times before you listen. I thought about it for a moment. You're right. Especially if I'm about to do something potentially dangerous. I looked around. How long is this going to last? No more than 8 hours. He opened his mouth to continue, then closed it. What? I asked. Sim sighed. There might be some side effects. It's lipid soluble, so it will hang around in your body a bit. You might experience occasional minor relapses brought about by stress, intense emotion, exercise. He gave me an apologetic look. They'd be like little echoes of this. I'll worry about that later, I said. I held up my hand. Give me your admissions tile. You can go through now. I'll take your slot. He spread his hands helplessly. I've already gone, he explained. Tellus, tits, and teeth, I cursed. Fine. Go get fella. He waved his hands violently in front of himself. No. 10. I laughed. Not for that. She has a slot late on Sendling. You think she'll trade with you? She's already offered. Sim got to his feet. I'll go find her. I'll stay here, I said. Sim gave an enthusiastic nod and looked nervously around the room. It's probably safest if you don't do anything while I'm gone, he said as he opened the door. Just sit on your hands until I get back. Sim was only gone for 5 minutes, which was probably for the best. There was a knock on the door. It's me, Sim's voice came through the wood. Is everything all right in there? You know what's strange, I said to him through the door. I tried to think of something funny I could do while you were gone, but I couldn't. I looked around the room. I think that means humor is rooted in social transgression. I can't transgress because I can't figure out what would be socially unacceptable. Everything seems the same to me. And that's the page. My name is Nick.
I'm Jordana.
And I'm Jeremy.
Is this the origin of I am telling you three times?
I was going to ask, like, do we think, because Quoth has said that already in the frame narrative, right? So I wonder if this isn't like the origin of it, like if it's a common phrase in the world, but this is Sim kind of riffing on that idea. Like if it's already a common idiom.
I thought that too, when Quoth said it in the frame, that it was a common turn of phrase in a fantasy world. But I wonder if it's kind of an in-joke among Quoth and his crew that originated here that he passed on to Bast.
Maybe, yeah. That's also possible.
I think giving them the credit of like creating like a saying is giving them a lot of credit.
Well, I mean, think about our circle of friends, Jordan, and we have like in jokes and phrases that we say to each other all the time.
Like what?
Like I have things. That's literally a thing you invented on this podcast that is now a phrase.
Fine. Reasonable. I suppose. But like I'm telling you three times, seems like it can be very serious. Like when you want to be like, hey, like you got to pay attention.
And if this is the origin, then that's how Simon is able to get across how serious he is by telling him three times or by telling him 10 times.
So that might be a shorthand that Quoth and his friends still use with each other, that when you're trying to explain something serious to someone, you tell them, I'm telling you three times, but based on this. I think that's
possible. That is reasonable.
I really like Quoth's attitude in that, like, he admits to Simon, like, okay, yes, you're right. I should just do what you tell me because what's the point of having you as my touchstone otherwise? But he also instantly, like, as soon as he sort of concedes that, his next thought is, how long do I have to do what Simon tells me? You know what I mean? Like, Quoth is not the kind of person who enjoys it when other people get to tell him what to do and he can't do anything about it.
Lipid solubility is a real thing, and it refers to chemicals that break down through fats instead of through water, which is how most things break down in our body. THC is lipid soluble instead of water soluble. And one of the theories for the reason that acid flashbacks occur is that it's also lipid soluble, so it might get stored in your body fats, and if your body starts to break down body fat for any reason, it might activate the LSD, hence the flashbacks.
Interesting.
And so is the same logic on display here. And he does get Plumbob flashbacks occasionally, which in a weaker book would be pretty lousy Deus Ex Machina excuses for Quoth's bad behavior to get him into trouble. Because it's a whole action set piece, I don't mind it so much, but I do think it's a bit cheap to be like, oh, this poison I had made me do something in a later social situation that had ramifications and increased the tension in an unearned way.
I mean, I have to admit that that never crossed my mind reading this book, and I don't think it bothers me now. But also, maybe that's just because I don't think Foth has ever done anything wrong.
And just before the torches and pitchforks, or the Bunsen burners and graduated cylinders of the chemical set come after us, apparently there is some controversy over whether or not LSD is fat soluble. And I'm reading now that it is water soluble, and it's not actually clear what causes acid flashbacks. So don't at me.
But that idea might have inspired Rothfuss.
Certainly. For this. I think that's a strong likelihood.
Is it possible that there's also like maybe other substances that aren't LSD that might have that sort of effect?
Oh yeah, lipid solubility is a real thing.
Yeah, yeah, like even if acid isn't lipid soluble in that way, other lipid solubles might have a similar effect where they break your fat, body fat breaks down and the thing gets activated again.
There's a funny joke on this page when Simon thinks he wants Fella for sex.
Yes. It's
extremely funny.
And Quoth's like, no. I have like there's another reason I need to see Fella. Yes, very good. And also Sim just telling Quoth like, you know what, just sit on your hands until I'm back. It was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Part of and me, Quoth, as we read this page, thinks like, is he gonna be able to sit on his hands? Well, Sim is gone. Well, like I know that we know the rest of it, but like.
Well, think of it this way. Quoth still has his powers of reasoning, right? We already know that he's not any less rational than he was before the Plumbob poisoned him. So, and he's agreed to do what Simon asks him to do. So if those two factors are put together, he can still reason and he's agreed to follow Simon's instructions. Then it stands to reason that he understands that, no, I really should do what Simon said. He told me to do it for my own good. And I might have an urge not to. I might like think, oh, it would be a good idea for me to do this right now. But I agreed with Simon that it's for my own good to do this thing. So I think
he also gets lost in thought, which I think is similar to when you smoke a lot of weed and you sort of start thinking sideways, where you keep on thinking about things and then you make an association and you jump into that new thing and you think about it and so on and so forth.
Yes. And you lose track, like your mind loses track of where it is. And you're like, if you're talking, your mouth can't keep up with the thoughts you're having.
Exactly. And so he goes off on this little hole of like, huh, I don't seem to be able to create humor because of transgression is something I lack, which if I were predisposed to uncharitable readings of Quoth, I might suggest that this is a moment of him being, you know, the brilliantest, smartest boy in the room, even when he's poisoned and alone in the room.
He's not wrong. Like, I think he's right that humor does have its roots in social transgression.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's just like a smarty pants thing to say in a scene that doesn't call for it.
Yeah, well, but
Quoth is a smarty pants.
Yeah, he's smart.
Yeah, look, I'm not trying to start an argument here.
Then why'd you bring it up?
We got 10 minutes of content to fill. And I have a character to play.
Sounds like you are trying to start an argument here, bucko. I actually happen to think that this is more to do with Rothfuss wanting to insert a little like author opinion and using Quoth as his mouthpiece,
which is also less than acceptable.
Yeah, but you know what, in a book that's 1,000 pages long, I think you're allowed a couple of those.
There's some Jerusalem ass shit right here.
Yeah, two books by two geniuses who have never done anything wrong.
Have we anything more to say?
Moving on.
On the page.
No, I'm good.
With great beards.
It's true. Is that a prerequisite of being an excellent author? Is having a huge ass beard?
Did Tolkien have a good beard?
No, he was clean shaven because he was like a soldier.
Mm-hmm. I think it's not a prerequisite, but I think it's a chicken and the egg scenario. I think that, especially in the genre of science fiction fantasy, if you are a male science fiction fantasy author, you're going to develop a luxurious beard at some point. And the more luxurious your beard, the more your powers grow and the better writer you become. And the better a writer you are, the more luxurious your beard gets.
I mean, the more successful a writer you are, the less you have to impress anybody.
Exactly.
So you can just
be like Alan Moore and go and live in a castle in the moors of Northampton.
Yeah, you can become fully enslobbened and nobody will look at you askance.
Which guys, I'm never going to become a famous author. I can't grow a beard.
These rules are waived for people who can't grow beards, Jordana.
Yeah, well, they find other ways to enslobben themselves.
Mm-hmm.
A fun sidebar, I'm doing a playoff beard while I'm social distancing. Mm-hmm. Until we get the all clear, I'm not cutting any hair on my body.
Mm-hmm. We need update pics on the gram, Nick.
Yeah, for sure. Someone suggested I do daily pics and time lapse it after the fact, which is pretty fun. Most of you who have seen me in pictures or whatnot know that I shave my head. So this is a fun opportunity to see what happens when my hair grows in.
Hell yeah.
Jeff is starting to look like Fabio because his hair was already 3 inches long like before this happened. He's going to be a caveman. I'm not. My hair is going to be long and fine. But like when men grow long hair, it looks funny if it's not long enough. Because like, you know how a lot of guys do the short sides? Jordana,
now that you've said that, I want a picture of Jeff and you post like one of those body-tripping romance covers.
Oh my God, yes. That'd be so funny. What? Yeah.
What? Okay, explain this to me. What?
You swooning into his arms on the deck of a ship.
So Fabio.
His hair billows in the breeze.
Yeah, Fabio.
Oh, because he looks like Fabio. Got
Jordana,
it.
Yes. Fabio, one of Fabio's many jobs was as a model for like romance novel covers.
Got it.
And
that's not happening. I'm not making that. No.
Listeners, write in and tell us.
But if Jeff lets me, I will take a picture of him with his crazy long hair when this is over.
Not good enough.
What about you, Jeremy? Isn't your hair going to get kind of weird?
We seem to have veered firmly into nonsense town. What about
me? That's reasonable.
Well, we have a letter, and rather a long one. This is from our good friend, I.W. Ferguson, who writes on many things. Hey, wise ones. I got behind and have just caught up. Here are my notes. On page 4, about the rhyme. One of you said, if you were making a fantasy world and you could come up with a rhyme that was slightly sinister, wouldn't you fill it with import? Wouldn't you make it laden with mysterious imagery? And is the rhyme just a rhyme? When I make a fantasy world and include any nonsense, I fill it with mysterious imagery, but leave the import to my reader's imagination. There's plenty of other work which requires import. Nonsense rhymes just need to seem possibly full of import. Save the hard work for the things that I want to be interpreted in a certain way. Page 6. About code preparing the bread, mutton, etc. every day. Is he preparing for something that might happen, that could happen any day, but he doesn't know when? Page 9. Your discussions of Coates' age reminded me of a quote. It's not the years, it's the miles. I've heard this quote attributed to both Elvis Presley and Kobe Bryant, but I don't know for sure. Rip to two real ones. Page 10. Any normally strong person can run a cider press. There may be bigger presses that require mules or oxen, but for a single inn, you'd have a small press one person can use. A friend of mine rents one every year and has a party, and I've run it myself. It's amazing how much flavor is lost during pasteurization. Right out of the press, the cider tastes heavenly. Before going down a giant rabbit hole of ridiculousness, make sure you bring some apples. On page 15, I enjoyed the conversation about authorial intent. I think that in general, people writing about this tend to overemphasize one side of the argument or the other for various reasons. But you folks reined each other in from the extremes and seem to come to something like my understanding, which is that authorial intent is a rich well of meaning, but what good is a well of cold, clean water if there's no village or even travelers to draw from it? A reader brings a unique perspective which informs the event, that is, the reading of the book, as much as the book itself. And any argument about the quality of a book is really about the quality of the event, or hopefully events, because many people read it. Yes, people can make better meaning than the author, but better is a word easily misinterpreted without context. And as usual, Jordana's fence provides the best perspective, so long as you two are able to articulate how green the grass is on your side, which you do remarkably well in conversation. I have to sit, think, write, and rewrite to offer anything like a discussion like this. Offer anything to a discussion like this, but you rattle it off as if you'd spent all day reading French literary theory. Thanks, I.W. Ferguson. Well, a large part of my day is spent having imaginary arguments with Jeremy, so consider me in good practice.
Likewise.
And a lot of my day is spent actually, honestly, that a medium ground can be found.
Now, honestly, my mental argument energy is mostly reserved for this one like conservative family friend who just who I had a fight with last summer, and I'm still mad about it. Anywho, thank you for setting us straight, as other listeners have, about the cider press. We have been owned as people who have clearly never pressed cider in our lives. A cider pressing party sounds fun, though. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that does sound super fun.
I also feel like...
I vote you two press the cider and I get to drink it.
You're easily the strongest of all three of us.
Oh, why, thank you.
You want cider pressed by these feeble, noodly arms, Jordana? I think not. I think it was Nick who was arguing that the poem must be filled with import. So I tend to agree with I.W. Ferguson that it doesn't have to mean anything. Lots of things can mean things, and some things are just not gonna. But that doesn't mean that readers who are intent on making everything mean anything can't make it mean something.
Yeah, I'm inclined to fall on the side of let the readers do the work, because meaning made by a reader is more valuable than that made by the author. Okay, end of page, of chapter.
Gonna hit him in the face with a glass.
Thank God for social distancing.
We could have a good old-fashioned podcast bar brawl. That would be great content for our listeners.
It would just be smashing stuff and like stumbles in the background as far as noises. Just a little bit of yelling.
Yeah.
No one would know what was going on.
You know how in every like Western, when there's a big bar fight, there's always one guy who's just like at the bar drinking, watching objects and people fly back and forth in front of him. I feel like Jordana is that person.
I am 100% that guy.
Yep. Hard drinking Jordana.
Mm-hmm. Just pounding back the
whiskey. Her from her tequila.
I do like tequila, but I certainly wouldn't drink it. You could join us all for a wee dram. Ooh.
On tomorrow's page
of
the
Whale.